and welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, for the 28th of December, 2022. I am joined by Harry.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about racism in the machine. What the hell is Kwanzaa anyway? And also, at least, Europe had a good and based year, which we did not in the Anglosphere, which was a shame. But oh well, at least the Europoles are having their time in the sun.
Paris isn't having a particularly based time right now, though.
They're not. With the Germans.
What was that evil smirk there?
What?
Paris isn't having a good time. I know.
Yeah. Germans and French having a terrible time. What's not to smile
about?
That's
true.
Anyway, we shall begin with racism in the machine. Machine spirit is prepared. At least that's the way the leftists are writing about racism at this point. It really is in the machine. And it is to be found. Once we find it, then we can tell people about it. The ghost stories of past.
Well, yeah. Well, what the thing is, once we find it, we won't fix it. We'll just point at it and say, "This is bad. Give me stuff."
Yeah, I'm not sure we'll actually even find it because the thing is, I don't think they even have. But we're gonna go through this. There's a bunch of articles I just found amazing. Firstly, I shall mention the premium podcast on Lotus Eaters.com, being the origin of intersectionality. Of course, keep goddamn talking about this because it keeps goddamn being relevant. Which is that yes, all of this crap does come from these people. Once upon a time. Anyway, we shall begin because the thing that perked my interest, the reason I wrote this segment, is I found a Guardian article that's just come out, and it reads like a leftist PSA, like a literal NPC update.
I mean, it's the Guardian.
Yes, but like at least they make an attempt.
Do they?
Yeah, to be like, this is news, I swear. But the thing is, like this reads like something you'd send to your employees. So this is a article here saying job discrimination faced by ethnic minorities convinces public about racism. Okay.
What? All right. Job discrimination. Is this like an internal Guardian report that they accidentally published?
No. So it's some research on some research that shows that the public care about racism if you give them this one specific thing and don't tell them the details.
Okay.
But it reads like something you'd give to your activist to be like, this is the new script. This is the thing that works. We've done research.
Oh, these are those chips from the memes that we see people's put in people's brains.
This is physically the chip we can see. And let's have a read, shall we? So researchers believe that they may have found the best way to convince the public that racism is real. Sorry, is a real problem and requires major change. Tell them about an Oxford University study exposing discrimination faced by job applicants.
That's a meme paragraph. That has this reads like a meme already.
Yeah, it doesn't seem real. Like I was checking this out. I was like, "Is this actually a real thing they wrote?"
Are we sure the link's right? Are we sure we've not opened to the Babylon Bee, Michael? Are we
no,
sure?
No.
Okay,
no.
All right.
A groundbreaking project exploring how better to boost public support for action against systemic racism tested which messages best move people towards more anti-racist positions.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. That's been the tactic for ages. It's the old nudge techniques.
Yeah, but it's so weird for them to write it in like the national outlet for the public here. They're just like, "Yes, okay, so we are literally." In nudge theory, because we can't convince people of these things on the face of it. So instead, we have to find the most deceiving way to make people believe that this is the case. And we found it because we've had to do research. Do you ever have to sit and do research on how to convince your parents that something's true?
On how to be really sneaky. Well, to be fair, there was that thread that came out the other day from the DSA of America, where they were saying, like, how to convince your parents to become socialists at the dinner table. So yes, they do those things.
But that's the thing, like, you don't have to, like, take the I was going to say something, but I can't mention that on YouTube, can I? The BBC lies to people. Okay, whatever. Let's go.
Yeah.
As an example. Like, you don't have to sit and think and brainstorm and, like, war game, like, how are you going to convince people the BBC lies to people? You just show them it. It's like, you remember those BBC vans? They're going to check if you got a telly license?
Oh, yeah.
When was the last time you saw one of them in person?
Never.
Yeah, because they don't exist.
No, of course
BBC
they don't.
Made them up. So there you are. So I don't have the war game about which is the most convincing thing. These guys do.
I do love that people occupy kind of the both parallel contradicting positions at once, which is most people, if you were to ask them straight up, it's the old stated versus revealed preference. Most people, if you ask them straight up, do you think the media lies to you? We'll say yes, absolutely. I'd be shocked if you got anything less than a 95%. Agreement with that statement.
Yeah.
But then they're still just going to read the same old things and the same old publications and just go along with it.
Sometimes, but I think that, frankly, that's a bit blackpilling to reality. Reality, I think, is more that there are plenty of people who have woken up to that and just don't.
Oh, yeah, there's plenty of people, but I'm still thinking that the majority of people
maybe.
Are basically sheep.
Anyway, I just find it funny. It's just like you were literally writing it as if this is something for an activist script, but you put it in your newspaper. Cool. Anyway, reframing race. Yeah, that's not an activist organization. Literally reframing the conversation, though.
I mean, dude, they're just a charity. It just says charity.
Yeah, it's a charity. Trust me.
It's just a charity, bro.
Yeah. They tested dozens of arguments on almost 20,000 people and found highlighting research from 2019 showing ethnic minority applicants received less positive responses to job applications than white people was the blockbuster in terms of making people more likely to agree that all races and ethnic groups are equally as capable and are all equally as capable as each other, which that doesn't really follow.
Yeah, like, those don't follow at all.
The thing you found from this, if we're taking your stance, which is that people would take from it that people are being discriminated against, not that they're all equally as capable. I don't know why that would make people... That doesn't make sense, but whatever. By constraint using well-trodden language about people suffering from inequality was less likely to convince people of systemic problems, and even sometimes backfired, because it's obvious bollocks.
Like, well, I think what they'll have found there is that it comes across confrontational, so people are more likely to just get defensive.
Here's my leftist meme that's 1,000 words. Read it, and then you'll become a leftist, please.
No.
Not going to do that. The need for better arguments was made clear by a... I love this. It's like, no one's convinced by anything we're saying, so we did some research. Like, what kind of bug brain do you have to be? You think no one finds me relatable. In fact, people find me completely unlikable and impersonable and a complete liar because I spout nonsense every day as a leftist, and therefore I'm going to do some research to try and convince people that this isn't the case. Sorry, but just like the whole concept of this is just...
Making friends for dummies.
That's actually what they're doing. Anyway, so the need for better arguments was made clear, after everyone hated us, by a study in England and Scotland, which revealed widespread racist attitudes amongst 40% of people, believing that some races or ethnic groups are naturally harder working than others. Well, there is no evidence for that.
I was going to say, is that racism?
I really don't think it's... I mean, number one, like, we've already failed at the first hurdle. Mixing races and ethnic groups destroys your own argument. If you're going to say something is racist, then it has to be on the basis of race. If we introduce ethnic groups, which aren't races, and ethnic groups are made up of various races at many points, we've lost all meaning and the conversation's pointless. Because the thing is, like, you can have multiracial ethnic groups, and at which point, well, where's the racism if that ethnic group's doing better than another? Like, you have ethnic group A that's made up of all the races. You have ethnic group B that's made up of one race. And ethnic group A is doing better than ethnic group B. Is that racism?
Well,
like, whichever race you're saying is being discriminated against is in both groups. Anyway, side point. It doesn't make any sense. Whatever. They also say in here that the research also showed it remained easier to get audiences to accept racism. Sorry. As a real and pressing problem than to get them to support particular solutions. Yeah, funny that.
I know. You go, oh, well, yeah, of course racism exists. And then they go, and this is why we need to take all your private property. And they go, hold on. The Guardian's there like, I don't know, sounds pretty racist of you, bro.
Damn. We were so close. Anyway, they say, if we want to end racism, shut up, and entrench anti-racism, it is critical to build public demand for deep and irreversible progress, says Sanjeev Lingya over there.
Yeah, so we've just got to destroy your culture beyond the point of all repair, and then we can solve the problems, maybe.
Because remember, these people don't think of racism in terms of what is racism. Their definition is not discrimination on the basis of race, or, like, you know, unfair practice on the basis of race. No, their definition is, well, anything that causes differences between the races, whether that be justified or not, because remember, it's as a group. So if, for example, racial group A and racial group B are in society, and racial group A culturally decides to waste all its money, racial group B doesn't and saves its money and buys a lot of land. This is racism, even though everyone was free to make their own decisions, and as a group, they made these general decisions, which is mad.
Well, if the human race, if human nature, as part of the human race, because we're all one, man, we're all just in this big hippy-dippy love circle, bro, and there's no differences between anybody. We're all just human beings, bro. If we take that the human nature is perfectible, then any problems that come about because of people aren't because of them, it's because of society, man.
Yeah, I can see the charity agreeing with Morgan Freeman. So if you actually wanted to end racism, shut up. That would be the way to do it, Sanjeev. Anyway, the researchers found that the message with the most potential was when people in England were told of an Oxford University researchers had applied for more than 3,000 jobs with fictitious names and applicants, varying randomly by ethnicity, but keeping the skills, qualifications, and work experience the same. White British applicants had to make 4 applications to get a positive response, while minority ethnic applicants had to make 7. On average, they say. It is an almost watertight piece of evidence about the existence of racism in hiring, say the authors. The experiment catches racism red-handed. Which tells me that you're taking this seriously.
Ooh, got your hand in the racist cookie jar, eh?
Yeah, these people aren't clearly motivated by activism. It's just like, who writes like that? An example of a message that made people less likely to think about racism as a systemic problem was one that said, "This country's black and minority ethnic communities still suffer poorer outcomes across education, employment, health, and in the criminal justice system. In order to achieve general racial equality, we must work towards an inclusive Britain in which we must all feel valued, enjoy equal opportunities, and share common sense and belonging." Yeah. Yeah, no one likes your leftist meme. They're like, that big blocko text there?
Mm-hmm.
That didn't convince anyone.
Sorry, I had an idea in my head when I said hand in the racist cookie jar, and I just thought to myself, I wonder. So I googled white chocolate is racist, and found an immediate girls ask guys is white chocolate racist, and then apparently an article from Fair Planet called "Racists Hate Chocolate: New Study Finds." So I can't be racist.
You've got to send me that.
I love chocolate, so I can't be racist. All chocolate lovers out there, vindicated.
That's not white chocolate. That's racism. Anyway, but it's just, number one, okay, I don't trust these people doing this research, but whatever. The side point being, I just find it amazing that their literal NPC updates are now something you can sign up for. There you are. That's how you get them.
Yep.
So there you have it. And secondly, none of this makes any sense. Because let's take their research at the base of it, which they're like, oh, look, white people are more likely to get the jobs. Trust us, done some research. Yeah, well, my lying eyes tell me the opposite, because we have concrete evidence of systemic racism against white applicants across this country over, a period of about 12 years now?
Yeah, we even mentioned some of it yesterday in my segment, where the NHS is like, oh, you hired a white person, did you? We're going to need some reasons for that.
Yeah, I'm bringing it back up, just because, you know, literally yesterday, as you say. You know, I don't think a day goes by now without some story of, like, a white person just being discriminated against for being white. I mean, the most ridiculous was Dr. Ella Hill. She went to, she was in Rotherham, survivor of the rape gangs there, managed to get to the point of getting people to accept in the police force in England that maybe, just maybe, raping a white girl because she's white is a hate crime. Took a lot
makes
of work.
Makes sense to me.
Managed to get there in the end, I believe. And then she moved to Wales and had to argue with the Welsh police on the same point for ages, and they just wouldn't accept it. It was like, well, why is it not a hate crime? Because they're white.
Yeah. Well,
why is that different?
I think,
and they still haven't accepted it.
So some of this is definitely not just purely like white, as in the racial category of you've got pale skin like you or I. A lot of it is just basically we hate English people.
Anglo-Saxons.
Yeah, Anglo-Saxons. Like, do you remember that? What was it? What was that name of that Frankie Boyle show that you covered last year? Was it New World Order? Did you literally just call it New World Order?
Yes.
And they brought on the panel of people, and it's like, oh, it's an Anglo's worst nightmare. We've got blacks, we've got Indians, we've got Celts. And it's like, well, to the untrained eye, a Celt would appear white. But they just hate English people, apparently. Or at least Frankie Boyle hates English people.
But also when you talk to like the critical race theory Americans, when you dig down far enough, yeah, all of a sudden they have no problem with the Celts, with this island.
Well, yeah, there you go.
No problem with Eastern Europeans.
They just hate English people and the Anglos.
Funny that. Anyway, and it's also just endless. Like, we go to the next one here. This is back when we covered this story. This guy ended up suing the police in Cheshire because they just told him, you're not having the job because you're white.
Oh, like, really?
Well, okay. To court with you. He won that one, eventually.
Hey, I'm from Cheshire, so I'm glad that he won. It's sad that this happened in the first place, though.
Yeah, and if you go to the next one here, it happened again. This December, another guy applied for a job, and they were like, we're not hiring whites. Another court case, I guess. Like, you've already been found guilty on a national level of doing this, and you're like, well, I'll just carry on. And that's the reality of my lying eyes versus your nonsense of, like, trust me, there's racism against people with brown skin because my research says so. It's like, okay, well, give me the headline of no browns need apply from, like, British police.
Like, I'm sorry, the guy who applies and gets told, oh, sorry, we're only hiring brown people, he goes to somebody and he goes, oh, I've just been discriminated against, and the guy just goes, source? source. I've got a study here that says only black people get discriminated against.
I did go and check out the source as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I would have checked out
was
their...
Was it some spicy source?
No, their research. And the research just made me laugh because there's a really funny line in there as well.
Oh, no.
Which kind of blows the whole thing into... Because the whole thing, remember, is about how it's all about racism, right? Well, they say in here, male applicants from India and East Asia, China, Japan, South Korea, and Vietnam, commonly referred to as model minorities, fare just as well as male applicants from the majority group, the British majority group,
mm-hmm.
in case you're wondering. And white Eastern Europeans scored much lower for getting callbacks.
Mm.
So it's a weird kind of racism, where it just is like, well, we hate white people still. So that's not racism then, is it?
Indians white confirmed.
Yeah. I mean, you can talk about like ethnic groups, but you can't talk about race, literally. It makes no goddamn sense. So the original Guardian article telling you that this is about race, well, no. Like, your own data doesn't even show it's about race. You got the British, you got the Eastern Europeans, both same race, both white race. Guess what? Big difference.
Positive responses.
And the Indians were overdoing them.
Okay, so generally speaking, looking at this, Indian, Chinese, Japanese, South Korean, and Vietnamese men seem to do even better than the majority group, according to this.
I think it's 24 for the majority group, and then...
Well, that's the pooled sample, but when it goes to men rather than dividing men and women, look...
Oh, correct.
Under men, Indians and all of them, they get 23.3, whereas the majority group, English people, get 21.8, so they're doing better.
Really funny kind of racism, isn't it?
It's hot. I think it's because we just can see that inner whiteness. That's what it must be.
The Asian face of white supremacy. Who is it? All Asians.
Every single one of them.
No matter the differentials. Cambodian, Korean, same thing.
Yeah. Any non-Middle Eastern Asians,
yeah,
doing fine.
And the thing is, like, it's the fact that all of this is fundamentally the same kind of crap as always. The racism in the machine, as I'm trying to say. Which, if we go to the Fox News article here, just because this kind of crap keeps popping up. You know, queer feminist scholar argues. And I'm not going to read the rest of that headline. Because anyone even listening can fill in the blanks there. What do you think the queer feminist scholar is arguing about?
Yeah, if you get those words at the end of a sentence, discard everything that came before.
Don't you know black women are the most oppressed in society? Oh, shut up. The thing she's whining about here as well, in case you're wondering the specifics, she goes on to whine about, Brittany Griner?
Brittany Griner, I think is the name, yeah.
Dumbass drug taker who went to Russia with weed.
Oh, that one. Oh, the basketball player.
Yeah, that moron.
The definitely not man in a dress.
No, the thing is, like, everyone in America seems to even agree, like, that there is no way they planted on her. Like, she definitely took that and is an idiot. And in which case, bye. But no, we had to trade Victor Boot for it, for goddamn Lord of War over there. Anyway, but I love that as well. It's like, we trade the Lord of War for a woman who's broken the law in Russia. Why are we giving up such a valuable target? Well, she is a black woman.
Intersectionality.
And this shows that black women are the most oppressed. There was actually, there was a headline from when the trade went down, because the Russian guy actually took the piss on Russian state TV, and he was like, well, we actually have a white man also charged in Russia from the United States, but he's not getting traded. I wonder why. Well, we all know why.
Yeah, they can just rub it in our faces, can't they?
Yeah. Let's go to health, because health is racist too. Racism poses public health threat to millions worldwide. Ooh, it's out there somewhere. Racism, xenophobia, and discrimination are fundamental influences on health globally. Okay, calm down, love.
Is this why I saw footage from like American hospitals and the NHS where they were saying, oh, we can't give you this treatment, we're saving it for minority people?
Oh, they've got some reasons.
Okay.
It's actually the opposite way around, Harry. They say in August it was revealed that black and Asian people in England have to wait longer for cancer diagnosis than white people, with some forced to wait an extra 6 weeks. Yeah, because you know the NHS nurse, when you go in, they get that color swatch and they say, well, do I treat you now or in 6 weeks? That's been
my experience. It's always been, you know, I've gone in, they've waved me straight through. You hear about all these waiting times, not for white people.
No. There's it's not because there's any other factors at all. The differential between groups. No, all groups are the same, aren't they? Yeah, you're a moron. And the thing is, like, even the machines know you're a moron. The racism is in the machines. We've mentioned this before. It's the funniest story of the century. You know the racist AI stuff?
Remember it's that? Always hilarious whenever it shows up, because it shows up every single time.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny when it's like an AI makes up a story in its head, but when the AI is being used to look at bones of humans and can still tell what race you are immediately from looking at your bones. go to the next link here. There's a...
Calvin Candy AI can scan your skull.
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't even need your skull. Like, you can use, like, random parts of your bones. Like, any part of your bone. And it's just like, yeah, that's a white guy. And nose. Anyway.
The skeleton looks lagging.
it's incredibly racist. I can't believe this AI has been created.
But disavow entirely.
It can predict a person's race with 90% accuracy, even though humans cannot do the same thing. Right, the National Post. And they are dumbfounded as to why. I love the headline, which is just, it can tell your race from an x-ray image, and scientists can't figure out why.
I like that with 90% accuracy as well. I'm just imagining it's like the fastest draw in the West, the fastest racist in the West.
the AI's outdoing every white supremacist. Anyway, the study began after scientists noticed the AI program for examining chest x-rays was more likely to miss signs of illness in black patients. Did you see the problem? Like, the logic goes that, well, the NHS is not treating people with brown skin fast enough, thus all the staff must be unconsciously biased against black people or something. The goddamn AI, with no feelings about race in the slightest, is missing the same thing. It's almost like there are differences in the groups in general and not, you know, racism in the machine. The machine spirit is not asking itself, well, I could just ignore this.
It's like when I thought, I think I remember people saying that phone cameras were racist because if they had trouble with the face unlocking, detecting people, black people's faces and not unlocking for them. And it's literally just because, well, the way that the light reflects off of people's skin.
Have you
and
heard
stuff,
of photons?
Yeah. There's this problem with the cameras where they find it difficult to pick up light from certain sources. It's nothing to do with race. It's all the technological factors.
Speaking of technology, let's move forward because the technology is the problem in the highest possible way. Reliance on high-tech solutions to climate crisis perpetuates racism. Says UN official. Oh, good. Their actual complaint here is high-tech capitalist solutions, because of course it is.
What's the solution here? Is it return to rain dance? Well, is that what they're suggesting?
Do you want to know what this person does for a living when they're not being retarded?
Continues to be retarded?
A professor at law at University of California, Los Angeles.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there we are. Yeah.
These people are awful because they are in positions of genuine influence, and they go on, like, if you're a professor of law, presumably you're teaching law to people.
Impressionable kids.
You're teaching retarded law to people who are then going to go on to continue to practice retarded law in the courts.
It's a special subset. You've got corporate law, you know, tort law, and then retarded law. we'll end this off. Speaking of insane people, we'll just end this off to the Labour Party, who have also decided to be insane as usual. They're pledging to fight structural racism. Please don't be the Jews. Please don't be the Jews. Please don't be the Jews. We have to have this conversation again. They're saying they're going to fight structural racism in Britain because people who are black are 5 times more likely to struggle to pay their energy bills. Okay, at least thank God we're not talking about Jews. just not want to have that conversation again. They go on to whine in here. It's not very interesting, so I'll skip over it and we're out of time. But they're essentially just whining that, well, black people on average make less money than white people in the UK. They don't compare it to Chinese or Asian people. Because then it gets even worse. So they just let that one slide and don't think about it.
They do always like to make the exception to miss out those people when they're talking about these subjects.
Yeah, for people who don't know, like, the income brackets for the UK is basically just like people who are Pakistani, Black Caribbean, Black African, white, and then just like our lords and masters in terms of like who's making the most money.
Well, wasn't it also right?
The Chinese and the Indians who are just dominating?
Yeah, wasn't it right next to the bottom as well, along with the Pakistanis? It was basically working class white people in England.
Yes. Next to the gypsies.
Where's our systematic? Where's our reparations?
No. Don't think about that. Anyway, but there's the racism in the machine, which, yeah, they're still trying to convince you is the case. Move on to Kwanzaa.
All right, yes. Let's move on. Nice segue straight into Kwanzaa, and I'm asking the ever-important question, what the hell is Kwanzaa? This has been a question that's been rattling around my mind for a while, ever since I noticed that even Futurama back in the day had a little joke where a robot in a Pan-African outfit opens up his bag and finds a little book that says, what the hell is Kwanzaa? We've been asking this for a long time. Because, honestly, as far as I'm aware, we don't have Kwanzaa in England. I've never heard of it.
I've heard of it from Futurama,
yeah,
mostly.
I've heard of it through the Happy Holiday Brigade, you know, the Grinches. They always, when they're throwing out all the various platitudes to various different cultures and celebrations, they always throw in the Happy Kwanzaa. And I always, honestly, I thought it sounded relatively Jewish almost. Maybe that's just
you
wrong.
You assumed it was a Jewish holiday.
I assumed it was Jewish, but it was, I was wrong. I couldn't have been more wrong. I couldn't have been more wrong.
It's the end of Hanukkah. It's when the last light goes out and then...
Yeah. I couldn't have been more wrong because it's a pan-African black nationalist holiday.
Oh, so it is Jewish.
And these... Well, the... oh, yeah, actually, good point. It's the true Jewish holiday. You're right. But yeah, yeah.
Where's Kanye?
Up until a few days ago, I had no idea what Kwanzaa was because we don't have it in England. Nobody celebrates it. Even in America, it seems like barely anybody celebrates it anyway. But you do get the random people coming out, people like Barack Obama and other people in important positions coming out with the Happy Holidays Brigade saying Happy Kwanzaa. And I thought it would be appropriate to point in the direction of an actual holiday for this time of year with actual traditions and an actual history, as we'll get into, which is Christmas, because it's still Christmas time. As far as I'm concerned, Christmas is the period between Christmas Day and New Year's. It's still Christmas right now. Do you feel a Christmas spirit?
Yes.
One moment. Sorry about this, folks.
Oh, God damn it.
There we go.
Why didn't I burn these?
That's better. That's better.
All right, we're in the Christmas spirit.
Yeah, we're in the Christmas spirit now.
Let's get jolly.
I believe you now.
Get holly.
Because Christmas is a wonderful time of year, and I never want it to be over because I still want to capture that wonderful childlike joy. And you too can do that with this recent contemplations that Josh and Bo did, talking about the origin and meaning behind Christmas traditions, which I'm sure is very interesting and very wholesome. But let's move on to find out what Kwanzaa is. And like I say, this was all started by the fact that I saw some people getting a bit controversial about it because there was lots of public figures celebrating Kwanzaa, like Barack Obama here, saying, Michelle and I send our best wishes to the four or so families celebrating Kwanzaa this holiday season. Today begins a week-long celebration of African-American heritage and culture. As folks gather to light the Kinara, we hope you have a happy Kwanzaa. I'm sorry. When it's something like that, it kind of looked a bit Jewish. That's why it looked a bit Jewish to me. The candles and everything. And
okay, I see what you mean.
Yeah. And the name sounded a little bit Yiddish. So, you know, maybe I'm just completely wrong. This is just my Anglo brain.
You know what's really funny? Is you can see Obama is talking in like the outsider perspective there. He's not like our Kwanzaa or anything because he's not African-American.
Well, no, he's not.
No.
No, he's half white, isn't he?
No, it's not that. It's the fact that African-American is like descendants of... what is it? West African slaves who ended up in the United States, and his black side is from Kenya.
Oh yeah.
So he has literally zero in common with your average black American. Well, like, there's no shared history. There's nothing.
That didn't really play much into his initial campaigns for presidency.
He
though,
didn't
did
stand
they?
There and talk about how he was a black man.
No, I don't. No. But carry on as well. We've also got the MLK Junior Center celebrating it as well. Happy Kwanzaa. And we've got this amazing infographic, which I this is the...
It's not hieroglyphs, is it?
These are the seven tenets of Kwanzaa, and these are celebrated each day. So Monday, the 26th, was the first day of Kwanzaa, so that would have been celebrating unity. And the other...
No, you're not going to read the original Sanskrit or whatever that is?
Umoja.
All right.
No, let's not...
Let's not do that.
I could have been very offensive there.
No, we're trying. We're trying to learn.
Umoja, sounding suspiciously close to a 2008 era wrestler. Then we've got Kuji Chakuli.
Let's stop. Otherwise
known as self-determination.
What is that meant to be? Is that meant to be like
these are like the daily tenets. These are the things you focus on.
No,
each day.
The language. Like, because
I assume it's Swahili because apparently Kwanzaa is an adaptation of a word from Swahili or a Swahili phrase. Where Kwanzaa isn't actually a word, it's more just part of a random sentence. And then he added an extra A onto the end of it.
Maybe I'm an idiot. What's Swahili got to do with being a West African slave? Okay.
This is like celebrating black nationalism, pan-Africanism from like black power nationalists from the 1960s, 70s, and 80s.
This is always what's so
funny.
They don't
actually know anything about Africa. They're just entirely American.
It's like a Welshman who sort of sat there, you know, speaking Romanian. What are you doing?
This is my collective culture, bro. So yesterday was self-determination, so I hope all of our Kwanzaa-celebrating viewers were really determined yesterday. Today is very important. It's collective work and responsibility. Then tomorrow it's cooperative economics.
Mommy.
Yeah. And then we've got purpose, creativity, and faith. And I just need to quote Norm MacDonald here, and pardon me for the language, but this sounds like some fucking commie gobbledygook to me. I mean, honestly, it really does. And it is. It is, but if we carry on, we also have the usual suspects that you'd expect to be celebrating it, like in this next link where we've got the, oh, Pennsylvania GOP tweeting out saying happy Kwanzaa. Let's move on, because we've got Biden at it as well. Biden presumably knows about as much about Kwanzaa as I do, so that's very fitting.
What's with the three blue, the three red, and the one black in the middle? So
I think what it's supposed to be is supposed to be red, green, and black, which are like the Pan-African colours.
Yeah, okay. Why is it blue, though?
I assume they let Biden in charge of the candles and he just got it wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we've got Nancy Pelosi saying it as well, and she tried, bless her.
You remember when she wore the African dress? Did the knee? Do you remember that?
I don't remember that, actually.
She had, like, the Pan-African scarf.
Okay.
When George Floyd was killed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, was that the one where she went, oh, thank you, George Floyd, for sacrificing yourself?
Yeah.
That was amazing. Like, George Floyd was just there, like, step on me, step.
Look, that's actually what Nancy Pelosi said. Don't blame us.
Listen, I'm just paraphrasing, okay? But let's just play this clip, because Nancy Pelosi celebrated Kwanzaa as only she can.
A strong bipartisan I vote, yield back the balance of my time, and wish everyone a happy, healthy, and safe New Year. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Hanukkah. Wherever it is you celebrate, be safe. Thank you, Mr.
Kwanzaa.
As I said, she celebrated it in only the way that she can, by messing it up entirely. I mean, she does sound pretty drunk 24/7.
Happy Blonica, or whatever you do celebrate.
Yeah, happy Bifma, I don't know, who knows. But then there was the one that I saw most people responding to, which was Kamala Harris, which was just funny because, one, her husband, I assume that's her husband, looks as though he's been taken hostage. Talking about this, I mean, look at that smile. There is a gun trained on him just off camera. God, you gotta celebrate the made-up holiday or else, okay? And she says, very clearly here, very explicitly, she's giving us a little bit of a backstory. When I was growing up, Kwanzaa was a special time in our home. Today, my family and I are reflecting on the seven principles. Happy Kwanzaa! And then scroll down, I think she elaborates on this a little bit more. Oh, no. Let's just go to the next one, because people...
I think we caught the lie.
Yeah, people were pointing out that Kwanzaa might not have been the staple of her childhood that she makes it out to be. Where she we've got End Wokeness saying that she claims that she celebrated Kwanzaa as a child. She was born in 64, whereas Kwanzaa was created in 66, and no one cared about it until
even fewer 70s people and 80s. Than now.
Yes, even fewer people than the four people who celebrate it now. It was just one guy. It was just Terry. Terry down to pub telling me about Kwanzaa.
It was invented in Yorkshire.
As all the best African holidays were.
It's a very popular holiday destination for African Americans, I've heard.
Yeah, and then if we go to the next image, we got a little prelude of that, which is, this doesn't...
It's traditional Kwanzaa dress, Harry.
I mean, this is pretty African, as far as I'm concerned. You know, this is Kenya, right? This is...
I do not want to read the comments from the Indians underneath this video.
No, they're not going to be happy. They're not going to be happy. Indians, I apologize. But yeah, this doesn't look particularly legit. So yeah, like, it's pretty sus. Kamala is lying, but we're not surprised at that, are we? Because it's Kamala Harris.
Remember the freedom thing?
What?
I think it was when she was a kid. What? She was saying when she was a kid she wanted one thing for Christmas, which was freedom or some crap like that.
Do you know what that sounds like? That sounds like that in interviews, MLK always used to speak about this story that he had when he was in Birmingham and he was at one of the rallies and he read this little girl. It was probably a BS story.
It was Kamala Harris herself.
Yeah, no, because that's the thing is that he says, oh, I met this little girl and I asked her, oh, what do you want from this? And she just went, freedom. So Kamala Harris is actually just putting herself in that story.
God's sakes.
When I was a little girl in 1963, the year before
whilst I was celebrating Kwanzaa,
I went up to MLK and said, here, I wrote this speech. Why don't you read it?
Under sniper fire.
Yep. Kamala Harris tried to jump in front of the bullet that got MLK. She just couldn't get there in time.
Yeah, we should write a leftist history book. There's just all fictitious nonsense that's all blended together.
I mean, leftists have history books, and it is just nonsense blended together.
I think it was
already.
Carl Rittenhouse that shot the bullet that tried to kill MLK. And then...
I mean, that's what happened was that MLK was at the front of a freedom rally, and Kyle Rittenhouse was there with a bunch of Proud Boys shooting wildly into the crowd, and just happened to nick MLK, and that was the end of that.
I think people would buy that book and give it to their friends for a laugh.
I think we could. No, no, no. If we just put this, if we just straight face went to a publisher, pretended we were leftists, and said, well, we're not trying to accurately represent history, but we're trying to create a story to inspire future generations. I bet you that some publisher would pick it up and that a lot of morons would buy it.
I think the guys who did the hoax papers. Yeah,
we're just trying. Yeah,
I think they can get it done.
We're just trying to sell. We're just trying to sell a story, man. That's all it is. So, like I say, what is Kwanzaa? Out of all this nonsense, what actually is Kwanzaa? So, I found this useful CBS article that just goes over some of the basics. And when I say the basics, I mean the actual basics. It goes over as little of it as possible because you'll find that it's a little bit dubious.
I love the idea that what is Kwanzaa? Well, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, just celebrate it, bro. Just think about Africa. Just lay back and think of Africa. But they say Monday, the 26th, the day after Christmas, is the first day. Celebrate 7-day celebration, African culture. The name comes from
what
the.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
What does African culture mean?
Who knows? Who knows? I mean, are we talking Saharan, sub-Saharan Africa? Because there is a difference
between
those.
Are we talking Arabs? Are we talking Somalis? Like.
Who knows? These people don't care. Once again, this is American.
Yeah.
This is just purely cosplay. American. Pure they have no idea what they're talking about. But the name apparently comes from the Swahili phrase Matunda ya Kwanza, which means first fruits. So already you can tell, oh, it's exotic. All the wine mums in the middle class suburbias, if they hear about Kwanzaa, they'll think about how, ooh, this is very fancy, this is very exotic. Aren't we very open-minded for celebrating such a thing?
So that's where all the slaves came from.
Yep.
That's Swahili region of Africa.
Yep. Unlike many other winter holidays, Kwanzaa isn't tied to any single religion. It isn't even tied to reality. It is meant to include people of all religions. So if you observe Christmas or Hanukkah, you can also celebrate Kwanzaa. Now, when we get to some of the comments made by the guy who originated this holiday, we'll see that it didn't start out so inclusive.
Is that right?
A little bit, just a tiny bit. Created in 1966 by Maulana Karenga, which you'll be unsurprised to find isn't his original name, a black nationalist and professor of Pan-African Studies at California State University at Long Beach. Wait, wasn't that race lawyer, law professor from the previous segment? Weren't they also California State University?
Shock, isn't it?
I know.
I should have to say something there. Like, I understand the reasons, but the black guys in America who do this, where they become like a professor of African studies and rename themselves, it does remind me of some guy who's given himself the same Maximus Decimus Meridius because he studies like Greek language at university, and you just sort of look at them and think, stop.
Do you know what it reminds me of, actually? No, it's like Fallout New Vegas, where you've just got Caesar. And he's just like, oh, I just found some books about Caesar. I thought he was really cool, so I'm Caesar now. That's all it is.
Yeah, but he's trying.
It's people LARPing.
Making an effort to cosplay in Caesar's Legion.
Yeah, yeah. Don't they also pronounce it Kaiser as well? Just to make sure.
Kaiser.
Yeah, if you don't say it right, then you're a traitor. But it's shaped by the traditions and values from all around the continent of Africa.
That big place I know nothing about and it's sort of just in the distance.
Yeah, I very much doubt it. But like I said, black nationalist. So that that commie gobbledygook is actual commie gobbledygook. And the holiday is defined by, I'm sorry about this, Nguzo Saba, or the seven principles that I listed through earlier. Each day of the festival is dedicated to a specific principle marked by lighting a new candle on the Kinara, a seven-branched candelabra. And that's where the precepts come from. So it also makes sense. It all sounds relatively innocent and innocuous. Just ignore the black nationalist part. But let's dig a bit deeper into this, because I saw, like I said, a lot of people saying that Kwanzaa's fake. And I thought, Kwanzaa? Fake? No, it couldn't be. But then I dug a little deeper. So Greg Price pointed out after the Kamala Harris tweet saying that reminder that Kwanzaa is a fake holiday that barely anybody celebrates, created by a Marxist college professor in the 1960s who wanted black people to stop being Christians and also went to jail for kidnapping and torturing several women.
Hang on a minute. That's new.
It is new. CBS weren't so eager to point that part out. And I thought, hold up a second there, Greg Price. You can't just go besmirching the proper and good name of Kwanzaa without any evidence, okay? So I decided to dig a little deeper in this and found this Town Hall article talking about whether Kwanzaa is a fake holiday or not. That's right, we're doing some fact-checking, boys. get ready, get your debunking hats out.
We run Twitter now.
So the claim is, according to the founder's welcome on the official Kwanzaa website, the African-American and Pan-African holiday is celebrated by millions throughout the worldwide African community. You know that worldwide African community? Yeah.
Yes, indeed. You know what Africans generally think
like
of Black
Hooties
Americans?
Like the Hutus and the Tutus. They were the worldwide African community.
There's that too. But even if we want to do this whole thing of like the cross-continent Black community, like there are many, many a comedy routine of what Africans think of Black Americans. And it's not complimentary. It's usually your fake blacks, which is, yikes.
You're like 30% European, what you on about?
It's essentially, yes, that seems to be the general consensus, which is, you know, not, nothing to do with me. I'm involved in this conversation. I'm just letting...
No, I'm just there cheering on cheering on the knife fight, you know?
Placing money.
Yeah, there you go. But who even celebrates Kwanzaa, this article says, other than a minute fraction of Black Americans and a lump of white liberals in academia, the mainstream media, and the government. First, Kwanzaa is not celebrated in Africa, shock horror. It's an exclusively American holiday. And also, those millions across the world? Well, the 2004 marketing survey conducted for the National Retail Foundation found that only 1.6% of American consumers celebrated Kwanzaa. Fast forward to a decade ago, and Kwanzaa's sway had swelled to 4%, just one above the fictitious Festivus, which is apparently a fake holiday created by George Costanza's father from the TV show Seinfeld. So only a tiny fraction more people in America celebrate Kwanzaa than a fake holiday from a TV sitcom from the 90s.
What's the difference?
Not much. Well, Seinfeld was marginally less racist.
That's true.
So that was discovered by a public policy poll from 2012. And so it's not particularly popular.
Post-George Floyd, maybe it's a 1,000,000%. Who knows?
But then they go to the origins of Kwanzaa and talk a bit more about that and elaborate in a bit more detail. So Kwanzaa's founder, Maryland-born convicted felon Ronald Ron McKinley Everett. I'll repeat that again. Once again, what was his previous name from the other article? It was Maluna Karenga. Actual name, Ron McKinley Everett. Doesn't sound that African to me. Rebranded himself as Karenga, and they point out likely because his name was far too white sounding. He also co-founded the paramilitary United Slaves Group, which was considered a rival to and more radical than the militant Black Panthers. In the 1960s. They even had bust-ups in the 1960s where they ended up killing, I think, 4 Black Panthers. Because the Black Panthers weren't radical enough. And this was, from looking into it as well, it was facilitated by the FBI. The FBI sent fake letters to the US movement addressed from the Black Panthers saying, hey, you guys are a bunch of hoes, I assume. And then sent similar letters to the Black Panthers addressed from the US movement, and they just got into a big bust-up and killed each other.
That's hilarious.
It's great, isn't it?
You know, the American Nazi Party and the KKK have started killing each other. What? Over what?
I don't know. The KKK was like, these Nazis, they're not radical enough for me. And Karenga even admitted Kwanzaa is fraudulent to an audience at Howard University in 1987, where he said, people think it's African, but it's not. I wanted to give black people a holiday of their own, so I came up with Kwanzaa. I said it was African because, you know, black people in this country wouldn't celebrate it if they knew it was American. Also, I put it around Christmas because I knew that's when a lot of bloods, blacks, would be partying. So it's literally just we wanted party time. We wanted extended party time and some kind of veneer of respectability to go over the top of it. Also, it was intended to replace Christmas.
I mean, the funniest thing about all of this is the dumbass white people like Kamala Harris turning up, being like, well, yeah, this is my holiday.
Yeah.
That is actual genius. I mean, to be fair, I mean, he is an awful individual, but that is once again, one hell of a 4chan prank.
The GOP
in
Pennsylvania, just like, I see nothing wrong with this. Are you serious? Are you serious, guys? Are you serious? But then let's just round this off by just going into a little bit more detail from his Wikipedia page, which just gives...
Look at that profile picture.
Is this not a trustworthy man? Is this not a man that... I could see him coming down the chimney every Christmas. Not necessarily to give gifts. Maybe I'd find my Christmas tree a little bit more barren. But, you know, okay.
The dude is literally a robber and a kidnapper.
Yeah, so during the early years of Kwanzaa, he said it was meant as a black alternative to Christmas. So not alongside Christmas, not inclusive of Christians and people who celebrate other... No, a replacement for Christmas. And Karenga, a secular humanist, challenged the sanity of Jesus and declared Christianity a white religion that black people should shun. So it's intentionally subversive. Okay, we also got a quote from him talking about his activist Black Power group, US, that he was in, and the influence that Malcolm X, that noted moderate, had on the group. Malcolm was the major African-American thinker that influenced me in terms of nationalism and Pan-Africanism. As you know, towards the end, that's probably why he started murdering people, because, you know, that's what Malcolm said to do. As you know, towards the end, when Malcolm is expanding in his concept of Islam and of nationalism, he stresses Pan-Africanism in a particular way, and he argues that, and this is where we have the whole idea that the Cultural Revolution and the need for revolution, he argues that we need a cultural revolution. He argues that we must return to Africa culturally and spiritually, even if we can't go physically. And so that's a tremendous impact on the US, on the US. Yep.
We have the planes.
I mean, they can't go physically. He said so in the quote, so they just can't.
Yep.
I mean, we could have planes,
yep,
but apparently black... I mean, we know from the previous segment, we know black people aren't allowed nice things by law, so they're not allowed to get on planes. This is just the systematic racism down to the core. And then we can get on to his criminal charges and convictions. So in 71, Karenga was sentenced to 1 to 10 years in prison on counts of felony assault and false imprisonment. One of the victims gave testimony of how Karenga and other men tortured her and other women. The woman described having been stripped naked and beaten with an electrical cord. Karenga's estranged wife, Brenda Lorraine Karenga, testified that she sat on the other woman's stomach while another man forced water into her mouth through a hose. Yeah, not great. Not great. And ever since he got released, I think in 1975, when he got on parole, he's declined to discuss the convictions with reporters and does not mention them in his biographical materials. During a 2007 appearance at Wabash College, he again denied the charges and described himself as a former political prisoner. Mate, your ex-wife was one of the people testifying against you. I think she would know if she was there.
She was a fed.
Obviously, it must have been the FBI, the same as the FBI sent them letters that forced them to go out and murder some Black Panthers. So what the hell is Kwanzaa? Turns out it's a made-up Black nationalist holiday trying to replace Christmas for a big part of the population in an attempt to generate some kind of cultural revolution, needless to say, as the kickstart of some kind of much greater violent revolution. Thankfully, though, it's just a bit rubbish. It's just a bit rubbish. Celebrate Christmas anyway. Like this cheery chappy here.
That's enough Christmas spirit.
No!
No, it's just not very fun to wear constantly Christmas hat. How do the guys in the mall do it? The other guys dress up as Santa and have little kids on their lap for like...
What do you mean dress up as Santa?
You know when Santa goes to the mall?
Yeah.
Whatever, I can't do this bit. Let's talk about Europe's base year, because we own the island next to it and on the rest of the Anglosphere. Weren't great. Well, in political terms. I mean, you've still got, you know, commie New Zealand.
What do you mean? We've got Rishi Sunak in charge now. He's going to sort everything out.
Yeah, we have a new dictator. Americans have some, like, I don't know. Like, they've got some weird puppet at the top of it, but clearly the whole system's run by lunatics by the side. Don't know what's going on in Australia because it's too far away and I don't care. that's a joke, I just haven't kept up. But Europe's been having quite fun and I thought we'd check in because, they're upset. We'll start off just by mentioning Douglas Murray's War on the West book club that we did together once upon a time, which was good fun.
I still haven't read it, but, you know, I take your word for it.
It's a funny thing, you can go check it out on the website, our review there. And the thing is, obviously, Douglas did a lot of work on The Strange Death of Europe, which was good job, and alerted a lot of people to the problems, which I think is now bearing its fruits. It'll be interesting to see if this book ends up bearing any fruits. Then maybe it already is. We'll start off just with the news of, let's say, the year in review of European good boy baseness.
All right.
First thing, being the Sweden Democrats, who are now in the Swedish Parliament there. If you scroll down a little bit, you can see it on the right side in that big old box underneath the like half pie graph thing that I hate European parliamentary layouts. Look at that piece of whole side project.
The fact that a load of the colours just blend into each other as well, what's even the point?
Awful, isn't it?
It's terrible.
I much prefer the British system where there's two distinct sides and then you can at least compare like the, you know, the Crips versus the Bloods over here. But no, instead we have this like
I would kind of love if the British Parliament, they all just pulled the Uzis on each other at one point. Like, this has gone far. This has gone too far now.
I can no longer be done with debate. But here you can see the Sweden Democrats being at least the only base party I see in major Swedish politics there. And they're now offering confidence and supply to the government because, well, maybe they think they were the biggest party in the results, or the second biggest. I can't remember off the top of my head. I think, yeah, no, biggest. Yeah, there you are. Which is annoying that they're not in the government directly, but their confidence supply is not bad. So that means the government actually relies on the Sweden Democrats to do anything. And if you go to Italy, of course, we have Melons. Miss Melons. It's literally her name. It's not my fault she's also got melons, but you know. Anyway, Meloni over here, one of the brothers of Italy, decided to just take over the government. Pretty cool.
And then you say it like they actually did a Mussolini and just marched in and said, this is ours now.
Oh, this all turned up and went, we're popular. And everyone went, yeah, you are. Yeah, let's put her in charge. So
yeah, I think she said, I want to be the right-wing Tony Blair. And then everyone on the left went, oh, just like Mussolini.
Not quite sure, though. Same, but...
Blair comes out like, I'm just the left-wing Mussolini.
Yeah, and if we go to Spain, we can see Vox are also polling. I think this is this year's election in December. Quite a while away. But they're on their way polling at the moment. They're the, like, let's say, populist right-wing party in Spain. And they're on their way to, like, 15% or maybe 20% of the vote. Mm. So that'll be interesting as well.
In fact, you can connect the two, because I think one of the Meloni speeches that was going around earlier this year was at a Vox gathering in Spain.
Yeah. Although there are some cringe things about Vox, in case you don't know. They're not like the American Vox, obviously.
Well, I bloody hope not.
No, they keep whining about Gibraltar, and it's just like, shut up.
I don't know enough about the Spanish situation right now.
No, it's one of their points of Spanish salt, isn't it? It's like, you own Gibraltar, that's colonialism. It's like, we used to own two provinces in Morocco, and we think that's based. So why can't you just think what we're doing is based? Idiots. Anyway, French Anglo politics aside, if we go to France, we also have the Spanish Anglo politics there. If we go to French Anglo politics, we can see Le Pen as well, which, yeah, she lost the presidential election. But the thing is, if you scroll down on this, we can get to a point where it shows the, if you got it a little bit more. You see that graph there on the left? I don't know if you can click, because that's on 2022, I believe. If you click on 2017, we can see how much she made up. Like, that was before. Like, oh, yeah. Gap. Like, Closing that gap.
I think people are attributing this a lot to Zemmour coming out and basically just forcefully yanking the Overton window to the right.
They're coming with me.
Yeah. And people were like, okay, Marine Le Pen, moderate.
Yeah, and also just France continuously gets worse. Apparently Macron's stepping down in 27, so that'll be fun. But either way, okay, that was...
So what you're saying is potentially 4 or 5 more years of Macron.
I think that's right. I might be wrong.
I hope it's sooner. I hope he just goes away.
There's other elections in France in the presidential, so I'm sure people will do their thing. But the reason I'm bringing all this up is just pretext of context of, you know, how's Europe been doing in the last year? Well, pretty good, to be honest, in that regard, is because there is some funny salt I thought we'd enjoy. Here we have The Guardian. The Guardian's view on Europe's radical right crossing the cordon sanitaire.
I could write this article myself without having read it first. And I'm almost certain it would be entirely accurate as to what we're about to read.
I don't disagree. But the thing is, these NPCs are jolly good fun.
They can be, yes.
They say in here, the legacy of a seismic political autumn is beginning to unfold. Just before politics adjourned for the Christmas break, the migration minister in Sweden's new right-wing government announced plans to make it easier to revoke residence permits for immigrants.
Sounds pretty good.
Pretty sensible.
Yeah.
That's not even slightly objectionable. I don't know what the problem is. It's really basic.
I don't believe that there is a thing as a right to force your way into a country and make them accept you.
No.
There shouldn't
it's called
be.
Colonialism.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah.
I remember imperialism being bad, but I might have just been reading the wrong history books.
Far right say imperialism bad. Anyway, Maria Malmer Stengard belongs to the centre-right moderate party, but by her side during the press conference was Henrik Wiig, a deputy leader of the Sweden Democrats. And I'm going to butcher all your names because you're foreigners. And the thing is, the radical right party that originated as a fringe neo-Nazi movement in Sweden... Right, we're going down that route, right. The Sweden Democrats are not part of the governing coalition. In fact, until the landmark election in September, when the party finished second... It had been judged beyond the pale and excluded from power. Technically, that remains the case. But as Mr. Vinge's presence testifies, the reality is very different.
I find it so funny that they just keep saying that, oh, these parties keep originating in fringe neo-Nazi movements in Sweden, Scandinavia. So all I'm imagining is that all of the early 90s actual neo-Nazis from the black metal scene in those areas just grew up to become politicians. Varg Vikernes is going to end up prime minister.
Varg for president of Norway.
I want to see it. But it's so ridiculous because of my experience being a black metal fan, I know what Scandinavian neo-Nazis look like and what they talk like. And they're not this.
No, they're not.
Trust me, a neo-Nazi in Scandinavia would not do what the Sweden Democrats do and team up with the Christians. They would never team up with the Christians.
That's a very good point. But she says in here the reason she's so disgusted by how the reality is very different is dependent on the Sweden Democrats' support to stay in office. The Prime Minister allowed the Sweden Democrats to exert significant influence, particularly on the favourite topics such as migration and crime. It's like, yeah, you know these guys who have really good policies on migration and crime and are experts on migration and crime as a result. Maybe we should have them in charge of migration and crime.
Yeah, your neighbourhood may be much safer, but have you considered how racist that is?
You what? you want to tell us more, Mr. Social Democrat? Yeah, there we go. I love how it's sort of seen as a marginal issue as well. They're trying to play it down like it's not really that important. Like, yes, they're in charge of it, but they're basically nothing. It's like, yeah, it's only migration. It's only the future existence of Sweden. That's not important. Okay. In contrast, Sweden then, the cordon sanitaire around the radical right has been discreetly lowered. In Rome, 1,500 miles to the south, a still more startling and far-reaching process of political detoxification has already taken place. I don't think it's a bad thing. It's like, you know that thing, well, to be honest, centrist, like the meme is real.
Did they actually just describe the right taking over in Italy as political detoxification?
Yes.
Because that's not sending the message it should be if you're trying to say that this is a bad thing. Detoxification is a good thing.
It also tells us something, which is like, you've made, because if it was detoxification of like the Nazi party, right? Like, all of a sudden, all of Italy was like, well, let's bring that back. Yeah, okay, fair enough. I'd be a bit worried. But the thing is, like, the thing you've detoxified here, when you actually look at Mrs. Mellon's policies, is really sensible stuff.
Are we really sticking with Mrs. Mellon?
Is her name.
Okay, all right.
Well, her father didn't change it, so...
You're not insulting Mr. Mellon's, are you?
I think she's married. I think it is Mr. Mellon's fault that she's called
Mr. and Mrs. Mellon's.
They live in the greenhouse.
Oh, I should stop being so childish, sorry.
What's
Carry
the
on.
Story on Balamori? Anyway, so, where the hell was I? Oh, I don't remember. Anyway, whatever. She's taken over, it's been detoxified, and they're scared about that.
Oh, they mentioned...
neo-fascist roots.
They said it. They said the thing. They said neo-fascist roots, despite the fact that Mussolini's party split into basically every single current day Italian party in one way or the other.
And also it's Italian politics, so who cares? Anyway, they used to score 4% in the 2018 elections, and then now they're in government, and she's the prime minister. Mellons for Prime Minister, which is a good strategy. Anyway, in October, Miss Mellons joined... this is cock and balls all over again. joined her close political ally in Hungary, Viktor Orban, who also just got re-elected in spring. Which, again, another country to add to the base list, by the looks of it.
He got re-elected by a bunch of democracy-hating miscreants.
That's actually how they phrase it. And Poland's Prime Minister also got re-elected, and they were all at a rally at Vox together, having a good old jolly time, which this person was very upset about. I love the statement used by Mrs. Mellons was, long live the Europe of patriots, which, looking forward to. Once shunned and confined to the periphery of post-war European politics, radical right movements, such as maybe a Europe should exist, yeah, that's radical right, have penetrated the political mainstream. In France, the idea of a cordon sanitaire was conceived to deal with the rise of the Vichy apologist Jean-Marie Le Pen. His daughter, Marine, has effectively broken through it. Yeah, how'd she do that? She didn't turn up and be like, you know what, my dad did nothing wrong. He's right about everything. I'm continuing his life. No, she went, yeah, no, that was dumb.
She didn't turn up with a copy of Mein Kampf and go, you know, I don't know if you guys have read this. He's got some good points in here.
Waving Vichy flags.
Like, yeah, no, there's nothing like that.
No, it's funnily enough, the way she got through that is changing. Like, she's not her dad. Mad, I know. Something to conceive. And now the polling on Marine Le Pen in France. 48% of the French public consider her a patriotic right candidate compared to a nationalistic xenophobic right, which was the other option on the list. Which, you ever seen the referendum for Austrian annexation by the Nazis?
I'm going to assume it was like 99.1% in favor or something like that.
Yeah, it was, but the ballot paper's the funniest thing.
Oh, yeah.
All right, you got to visualize it because I have an image.
Okay,
okay. It's a piece of paper that just says, like, should we join with our brothers in Germany? And then in the middle of the bit of paper, there's a circle that just says yes, and you tick that. And then off to the right in the corner, smaller as well, circle, that just very slightly says nine.
And that's how you do it.
What do you think of Marine Le Pen? Patriots or xenophobic nationalist? Yeah, okay. Normalization has been a decades-long process. The crash, the Eurozone debt crisis, and the misguided austerity policies that followed inculcated anti-elite sentiments, allowing the radical right a hearing. Hang on, the anti-elite people got a hearing. You're upset about that?
Are we just supposed to pretend the elite don't despise us and want to destroy our cultures?
There's a more revealing point in there, we'll come back to in a moment, because they also say anti-lockdown sentiment and conspiracy theorizing about the pandemic have offered other opportunities, but it is above all the issue of migration that views once considered extreme are now dictating the terms of the mainstream. That's the thing, because all throughout the article, they never actually define what radical right meant.
No, you're right, they don't.
No, instead in that paragraph right at the bottom. That's where they do it.
It's on migration.
Well, it was a few things there. If you want a, if you're anti-banker-run elite civilization, the Eurozone crisis there, and yeah, that's your radical right. If you're anti-bureaucrats running everything, the EU there, then you're a radical right individual. If you're anti-prison planet, being locked down in your house 24/7, that's your radical right membership reinstated. And also anti-mass migration, that makes you radical right. So being pro-native and being pro-natural freedom is what the radical right is.
Given some of the light comments he made recently, the anti-mass migration point, that makes Keir Starmer now a member of the radical right because he said, if Labour get in charge, we won't just keep importing in half the rest of the world. I don't believe him.
No.
But just saying that makes him radical right now.
Welcome to the radical right.
Starmer, our boy.
Yeah, no. Anyway, they say in here, they go on to whine about Viktor Orban saying very naughty things that I can't read on YouTube, and Mrs. Mellon's agreeing. And then they go on to whine that in Denmark, even the left-wing social democrats there have started doing right-wing things.
Sorry, should we just say that Viktor Orban had made certain comments about the grand switcheroo?
There we are. I'll do. I can't say what he said about it or what went on, but that's...
No, just...
Normal, nice, free country in which I could say whatever I want on the internet.
Yeah, Michael's highlighted it there, the grand switcheroo.
There we are. Anyway, so the thing is, the Social Democrats, they whine, are also doing similar things, such as deciding that maybe, just maybe, let's have a cap on non-Western immigration. Pretty good policy. And also, they decided to start sending Syrian refugees back to Syria. Which, yeah, why would you do that? If you looked at a map of Syrian civil war anytime soon, go to the next image here, have a look at that. Yeah, it's mostly over. Like, sure, there's still some switcheroo going on over there, but frankly, you see the pink?
Yeah, I see all that pink right there.
Yeah, that's Al-Assad's land. Like, he's retained control, well, regained control of almost everything. And
who's
case,
this tiny little blue spot here?
That's the Syrian opposition.
Okay. Who, I will say the composition of this map does make it look a little bit like it's wet itself.
Yeah, and there's that. But also, it's just the fact, of course, like the population lives near the sea, not in the middle of the desert. So yes, if you live in Homs, probably the war's over. Probably it's time to go home and start reconstruction. In which case, what would you be doing in Denmark? What reason would you possibly have to be in Denmark? I mean, sure, if you lived in some of the like conflict zones, then yeah, okay, it's money. It's all money. Back to the article. They then list Brussels fights back. And
this article actually expects me to be cheering along the EU.
Yeah, there are boys. Why? Because they're technocratic elites who want to bribe Poland and Hungary to doing what they wish.
Ursula.
Yeah, new. They write, Europe's population is aging and shrinking as a result of declining birth rates, and migrant labour will become a economic necessity for decades ahead. They were saying this 20 years ago.
Did Tom Harwood write this article?
Say the line, Bart. You need immigrants because you're all getting old. Yay. Did you know that immigrants also get old? I didn't either. I was shocked. I found out. I went down to the hotel over there. I asked the guy, how old are you? And he said, I was 18 last year and now I'm 19.
See, I don't believe it. For one, you see average age in those sorts of places, and they're all 18, so...
Yeah, I don't know how that happens.
I doubt they can reach 19. And two, I was told that immigrants are perfect angels, and I thought perfect angels don't get old and don't die.
No. Instead, it turns out aging doesn't just affect Europeans. It's a bit broader than that. That disease of getting
life
old.
Life is so unfair.
Yeah. Amongst the young, liberal attitudes on social questions are deeply entrenched and will ultimately shape the future. But in a liberal counterinsurgency, with its roots in once-ostracized political traditions, have installed itself at the heart of the European body politic. Ah, yeah, cry about it. I love that. It's just like, don't you know they're rebelling? Yeah. Suck it. I don't care. And if we get back to the point of like actually having kids, because the thing is like, why are these counterinsurgents becoming popular? It's because they actually offer you an alternative than just how about we import the entire world to the point that the original nation no longer exists and instead we have Heathrow, the country in which we now live. Well, what if we just had kids? Yeah, no, it's a difficult concept.
I can understand why such a thought wouldn't come across Tom Harwood's mind.
This could baby making, like going fishing. We have here just Hungary, for example. If you scroll down there, since 2010, since Viktor Orban got into power and has been there since, because he keeps winning elections. If you scroll down to the graph, you can see that just, well, it has gone up for Hungary. It's not shot up amazingly. Ignore the UN projections because, you know, that's
but
not
it's
real.
It's a steady trend upwards, which is actually really wonderful to see, because one of the things that I do worry about is whether we're too far along as a civilization now, especially with low birth rates as we have, or at least below replacement rate. So it's nice to see that other countries are showing, as slow as it can be, it can happen.
But every Western country I checked out on this website, between 2010 and now, it's fallen, the replacement rate. Whereas in Hungary, it went from 1.13 to 1.53 in that time period.
That's a good bump up.
Yeah, it's good. And in which case, it just needs more bumping. And the thing is...
That's right, Hungarians, get bumping.
You know the Do It For Denmark thing?
What?
You seen that?
I've not seen that. That's great.
Hilarious. So there was this advert by the Danish government, whole sidetrack. They decided they needed Danish couples to start having kids. So they started making TV adverts. They were like, how about you go on holiday to Paris? It's very romantic, I've heard. Do it for Denmark. We need more babies.
Right, we need a similar one for England or Britain. I've thought of one, bang for Britain.
That's going to be crap, though, you know what it is? Like, it will be Big Les or something. Like, it's
we need Big Les.
Like, the Do It For Denmark advert. You know, I'm gonna find that advert and send it to Michael to play after this, because it's funny as hell. Actually, I wonder if we can include it in the segment, because it'll be funny. Could we do that, Michael, if I send it to you now? Maybe? All right. Anyway, I'll just end this off talking about...
Michael is enough of a tech whiz to be able to open multiple things at once.
Well, we got to play it as well and whatnot. But we'll just end it off. I'll speak briefly about why. Because I've always heard that Hungary has family policies that actually make you have kids. I didn't really know what. So I went and had a look at it. And these numbers, I salary adjusted. So I think our salary is about 2.5 times what it is in Hungary. So I've timesed everything by 2.5.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to be a bit friggity, but it is what it is. Get back to that. Family benefit, £360 a month. There you are. Just have some kids. This is assuming you're going to have 3 to 4 kids.
I think we have something like that in the UK, but it's like £80 a month, so it's barely even worth it.
I know, but this gets ridiculous. So discounts, so this is off your taxes. So that's £300 a month because you've got kids. So there we are. Have some more money back to you for yourself. Housing support. This is for you to buy a house or an apartment. And the highest rating here is you could get the salary adjusted again. I times it by 2.5. But you get like 50 grand to buy a house, salary adjusted there. It's obviously much less because it's in the Hungarian prices are much lower. But yeah, you know the thing you need to have a family is a house. You're not going to have it all in your studio apartment. Might be a bad idea. Might not be an incentive.
Well, yeah, the thing is, you see a lot of young people of our generation talking about, oh, I don't want kids because of this reason or that reason. Oh, I don't want to hurt the planet. But I've met so many people who are just like, well, I couldn't afford it even if I did want it.
What bedroom are they going to be in?
Yeah.
I got one. Yeah, I got one for me.
They're going to be in the cupboard. Yeah. That's where they're going to be. They're going to be under the sink.
There's also maternity benefit, which is about 350 quid. Childcare allowance, which is about 700 quid. This is adding up.
Per month.
Yeah, extra holiday for parents. If you have 3 or more children, you get 7 days paid vacation added on to your mandatory vacation.
And that just makes sense because you've got people to look after.
And also, if you're a woman and you've worked for 40 years, you can retire. You might be 56, let's say you started working at 16. Retire. Go for it. Have your pension. And the reason for that is because they want the grandmothers to be able to spend time with the grandkids.
That's all just really wholesome stuff.
To the extreme. That's
great. That's good. This is what we should be encouraging in this country.
There's also payouts for people outside of Hungary. So if you're having Hungarian kids outside of Hungary, you also get some money. Not as much, but it's just
still help, isn't
really
it?
Funny. I know the Romanians in the chat will be reading about Transylvania, but, you know. anyway, we'll go to do it to Denmark, shall we? Just to end this off, because I think it's funny. So let's enjoy this.
Kan sex redde Danmarks fremtid?
Kan sex
Danmark har et problem. Danmark. Fødselsraten er den laveste i 27 år, og der fødes ikke nok børn til at forsørge den aldrende befolkning.
We don't have enough children for the
skiftende regeringer har ikke kunne løse problemet, men der må være en løsning. Her er Emma. Hun er dansker, men selvom hun er født og opvokset i Danmark, er hun undfanget i Paris.
She was made
lige deroppe på det der
hotel. Oh my god,
for 30 år siden tog
hun med for et kriminalistiktur. Her dad just shows her around. We did it there.
Men det viser sig, at Emmas historie ikke er så enestående. 10% af alle danske børn er undfanget på en ferie.
At rejse og få nye oplevelser, det påvirker parforholdet, fordi de får overskud til at se og opleve hinanden på ny. Det frigør endorfiner i hjernen, og så får folk lyst til sex. Det får vi børn af.
Faktisk har danskerne 46% mere sex på ferier sammenlignet med hverdagen. Så for at hjælpe den faldende danske fødselsrate, opfordrer alle danskere til at tage på en romantisk storbyferie.
People have more sex when they're on holiday. Therefore, go on holiday, have sex, have kids.
Yes, save Denmark. Do it for Denmark.
Do it for Denmark. But if doing it for Denmark isn't motivation enough, we made it a little competition. Oh my goodness.
Book your holiday with...
our ovulation discount. Get it on and prove you concealed a child to win a 3-year supply of baby... Not baby supplies, baby stuff.
Yeah. There you are. And you can see the grandkids being like, well, we're waiting.
Yeah.
What if your chance of conceiving isn't so high?
Gay couple.
It's not just about winning, it's about taking part. Just because you can't have kids doesn't mean you should stop trying.
Still buy our products and go on holiday anyway.
Yeah, there we are. It's the funniest advert in the world.
That's the best marketing campaign for holidays I've ever seen.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
If there was an English language version for whichever company needs to do that, I mean, get to it. Do it well. But also, I mean, adverts are nice and all.
I would love to see a British company have the balls to put something like that out.
Certainly. But if you're looking for a real change, I mean, look, the based Hungarians seem to be showing us at least one policy way. And with that, we'll go to the video comments.
Australian news.
So just last month, dictator Dan won the state elections in Victoria by pretty much almost a landslide, but the reason why he won was simply because his opposition leader, Matthew Guy, was pretty weak in his campaign. The result of this election has led to an exodus of Victorians leaving the state in mass. And considering how harsh he treated people during the lockdowns, I don't blame them one inch.
That footage from Melbourne does look very bad.
I had no idea the situation had gotten so bad there. I think that's all the video comments as well.
Well, we'll go to
unless
the,
we want to just repeat...
Repeatedly watch Do It For Denmark.
No, I was going to say repeatedly watch Pelosi screw up Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa.
I wonder if there's more Do It For Denmark things now. I'm just going to check her
out. I hope so. I hope they did a variety of adverts for that.
Yeah.
Like back in the 80s, they used to do advert campaigns where it would be an ongoing story where you would follow these two people, for instance. I think it was the Nescafe Gold Blend or something. They had an advert storyline where there was this guy and this woman. It was a will they, won't they? And with that, we need the will they, won't they conceive the child storyline. I want to be there at the birth.
We're going to follow Emma and some dude, whoever he was.
Based Danish man.
Right. Is this suitable for broadcast? Yeah, probably. All right. Well,
all right. I mean, Dan went through the Pornhub statistics last week, so, you know.
Well, yeah, it's just there are more adverts. Should we just?
All right. Let's just.
We'll read the comments in a minute.
we're just entertaining ourselves right now. Don't worry about it.
What's like? There's gonna be an advert. So if you want to look at that first,
yeah. Just skip past. We'll read this top comment from Based Ape first. Then so, Based Ape says, "Merry belated Christmas, boys, girls, and whatever Vicky is. Legally, we're not allowed to disclose. Sorry, I didn't have time to come up with some big, elaborate, stupid, excessive waste of time surprise for you this year, but Merry Christmas all the same." Well, I hope you bloody come up with something for New Year then. Come on.
Anyway, we're ready for whatever this is. I think this is safe for work. I hope it is. All right. Shall we begin?
Shall we do it?
I don't think the audio is playing, but I shall
That's
narrate.
That's fine. Okay, so that was a rather enticing opening image. So we're going over the same information again.
There's Danish.
Still, they even point out there's still not enough baby. We've had this campaign going for a year, and it's still not worked as much as we hoped.
Look at this old lady who has got no pictures of grandkids. Isn't that a shame?
You're letting your mum down.
Yeah. Whereas, look at this lady. She's got a kid. Yeah, pretty happy. That could be you.
Well, this was you in the advert. Look, we've got the filter over it, so it's all nice and bloomy.
Yeah. And when it comes to making grandchildren, it might be a bit
what
awkward.
The, what? No, what? To,
grandma, stop. Grandma, stop.
No, what the hell?
Don't despair. We found a solution.
This is making it less sexy all of a sudden.
Money people have sex on sunny vacations. So same data as last time. Camping, less sex. So don't do camping. Don't do that. Go to...
go to somewhere in the nice sunny...
Go have sun.
Beach.
And play tennis and
don't
have sex.
Don't get too sweaty, though, because you'll probably not feel up for it.
Yeah, there we are.
Go do some squats, get that booty in prep.
And then
for him.
he goes down the gym, I guess. Well, not narrating anymore.
Not good for each other. He'll go and watch some stuff and look at women's asses.
And then there's some more bollocks about what helps people.
Oh my
sex.
Goodness, there's some visual imagery for you.
Anyway, same point. Different done. I don't know if this is the same people supplying another year's supply. Was it a lifetime supply of baby stuff? Anyway.
I think it is. Is there a goose in the office? What was
How
that?
How much do you want to be? Oh, wait. So the grandmothers can donate money and it will help.
And if you donate a fiver, we'll poke holes in all the condoms.
What if your child isn't the biggest team player and it's some guy?
Don't be this loser jacking off by himself. His mom's just like, good riddance.
Mons of Denmark, send him to training camp so he will go and have kids for the glory of Denmark.
Don't worry, if your son's ugly and weird, he can have children with an ugly and weird woman.
And it's a load of grandmothers all jumping up and down, sending their kids on holiday to somewhere sunny, where presumably they'll come back with kids. All right, there we
Not are. Their own kids, they'll just nick someone else's.
Whatever, more for Denmark.
That's quite sweet, though. That's kind of...
Do it for Denmark, do it for mum.
I don't know if having her actually show up to take the woman's bra off was entirely necessary.
No,
but I think still... I like the framing.
Someone in the chat says, I'm late, what the hell is going on?
We don't know. Yeah, we honestly don't know.
Whatever, they're going to read the comments and stop being weird. So racism is in the machine. It's in Denmark. Paul Vorbeck says, too many conservatives feel obliged to treat leftist BS with polite reverence. Yeah, they certainly do. Radcheck was right, says, if any legitimate research is done, I don't count on the media being able to convey its findings accurately. When it does come to any topic as nebulous and non-quantitative as racismus, social concepts, all research should be as seen as university-funded justification for political ideology.
That's actually what it is.
Seems true. Omar says, they are trying to convince the public they are researching the specific framing needed for the 73% in their polls. They have their conclusion, and they are finding the question most likely to produce the outcome they want. Yeah, that's totally true.
Yeah, it's manufacturing consent. We should probably do something on that book. I know it's Noam Chomsky, I know he's a communist, I know he's cringe, but I am interested in reading manufacturing consent.
You know about his genocide denial?
Which one? Yugoslav. I think he also denied the Khmer Rouge.
Probably that one too.
No, I know, in fact, he definitely did deny the Khmer. He was a defender of the Khmer Rouge, and then afterwards he was like, nothing ever happened in Cambodia, I don't know what you're on about.
I just love there's this quote from him that went viral a while back, where he's referring to like a mass murder of Bosnians by Serbs, and he just calls it population exchange.
Exchange?
Yes.
All right.
I don't know what the exchange was. I mean, you lose some people and we go home.
I mean, it can still work. You know, you can exchange gunfire.
Yeah. Shaker Silver says, if the machine is racist, it certainly isn't in favor of white people. Omar says, funny how the NHS is entirely propped up by minorities and simultaneously discriminates against those minorities. Oof. Well,
that's a good point. I thought the NHS is basically run by immigrants now.
You've thrown a spanner in the machine.
Damn it, Omar. NHS is even more underfunded now because of you.
Viva la España has come back to say, that study really tells me that people only care about culture because, once again, they're luring eyes informing people on the stereotypes that funnily tend to be true.
Did you just call Ignacio Viva la España?
Well, does he disagree?
Ignacio, leave us a comment down below letting us know if you'd like to continue being referred to that way.
We never actually established whether he's from South America or Spain either.
I mean, he might be from Sweden, for all we know. How do we know that Ignacio is his real name?
Yeah, that's true.
Actually, I know what I'm going to call you.
I'm
going to call you Nacho from now on, because Ignacio in Better Call Saul, his nickname is Nacho, so you're Nacho now.
Nacho my guy? Oh, that's crap. Pretty sure there's a guy who's from some Spanish-speaking country, who's one of the gold tiers, who lives in Canada with his wife. I wonder if it's him. I think it's not, but it might be.
Let us know, Nacho.
Anyway, Nacho cheese. Anyway, that's Nacho cheese. Nah, yeah. I don't know what that's a reference to. That's stuck in my head. You know where that's from?
Well, that's Nacho something or other.
Yeah, that's Nacho cheese.
I see it on t-shirts. I assume you've just got it from t-shirts.
There's a video from somewhere.
Who knows? Anyway. Read Sophie's.
Sophie's got something to say. Hopefully it's not about Do It For Denmark. So Rings of Power has only recently declared that there will be no male directors for the second season, so they will only hire female directors this period. So yeah, that's about gender discrimination. Also, yeah, they'll be safe. That'll save the show and not put women in a bad light anyway.
I'm just going to say, you know, if your TV show is getting terrible reviews and not doing very well, deciding to have only women in the creative process,
it'll go great.
I mean, just look at She-Hulk, that rousing success.
I believe that's a feminist film.
Where the entire ending was She-Hulk breaking the fourth wall to yell at the writers that they'd done a crap job of writing her and do a deus ex machina to save her.
Bunch of feminists get together. How should we represent ourselves in media? Twerking lawyer.
Twerking lawyer with bad writing that was only bad on purpose because it was the twist, you see. We wrote it badly so the twist could be that the show was badly written.
Anyway, it's
big
good
brain. That's good God. Yes, let's carry on. So what the hell is Kwanzaa? Lord Nerevar says, weirdly, I only remember hearing a smattering of mentions of Kwanzaa before this year. Now we have the president making a cringe video about it, the VP telling a fake story about how she used to celebrate it. I did see some mention that apparently she said something similar last year, but I didn't check it. I couldn't find anything. And world leaders crowing about it left and right. It's being imposed. Racially segregated Christmas, a horrifying proposition. And hopefully one to fail, given that there is a large proportion of black Christians in America and across the entire world, even. Andrew Narog, in fact, a lot of black Christians on Africa, probably not celebrating Kwanzaa. Sad to break it to you. Andrew Narog, as with so many leftist traditions, they exist solely to replace actual, more wholesome traditions and were invented within the last century. Yes, absolutely true. This one was barely invented more than half a century ago. So Omar Awad says, I think they honestly believe Africa was a slave continent. Did they learn about Africa through foreign aid adverts? Probably. When they say African culture...
That's so true.
Yep, that's a good point. I guarantee you they're imagining naked savages living in mud huts and hunting animals with spears. If you told them to describe an African city built by Africans, it wouldn't go beyond a double-story mud hut.
No, I reckon they would build, like, they you know what they'd probably do?
Well, I think...
You know, like the city from, like, Aladdin?
What, Agrabah?
Well, that's what I think they'd draw.
No, we know what they would draw. Because they've got two bloody films about it. They think it's Wakanda.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
They want it to be... They desperately want Africa to be the land of Wakanda. That's all they want it to be. Which, if you've ever watched them... One, don't. Awful films. But two, they're the most Americanized kind of African culture you could imagine. They're not even African culture. They just kind of wear the skin suit, as you would expect. And they have the monarchical society where, instead of treating the king with reverence... The king's little sister, instead of, like, bowing to him, doing all of the airs and honours and such, is just like, sup, bro? Like that. Oh, sorry. I think I've let you all down doing
such
that.
Such American culture as well.
It's embarrassing to,
like,
watch.
No African king would accept that.
Like, a few of the actors, one of them is from Zambia, and one of them's from, like, Trinidad. So they do have a relatively multicultural cast, and I just think, how are you not embarrassed? Just participating in this. You must know what a skin suit is. It's embarrassing. Baron von Warhawk, carrying on, says, honestly, I've lived in the United States for my entire life and I still have no idea what Kwanzaa is about. It's kind of like an unpleasant cat that never interacts with anybody. It just exists and we just accept that it exists. Well, yeah, it was a black nationalist fake holiday made to divide people's opinions and divide the population from Christmas. Just another attack on Christmas, which the left denies that they're doing. Sophie Liv Peterson says, I wonder how many of these people even realize the big parts of Africa are actually Christian. Exactly. Nigeria, super Catholic. They absolutely celebrate Christmas. So yeah, Christmas is also an African tradition. How dare they erase African traditions like that? Bigots, well, they would make the argument. Christians came in and imposed Christianity on Africa, so they have to, so it's colonialism. What they would instead suggest is that we go in and impose Kwanzaa, a fake African tradition, on Africa, which isn't the same at all. Sound fair to you? Sounds fair to me. Adrian of the Fountain, created in 1966, collective economics, focused on a minority. Yeah, Kwanzaa is communist racial division nonsense, obviously. Yes. Catastrophic Regression Threshold says, holy crap, who let Kamala out of the basement? Shaker Silver, you're not terribly wrong with thinking Kwanzaa is Jewish, Harry, because it stole quite a lot from Hanukkah. It's all but one big grift, and if you go to any of the millions of Muslim or Christian Africans, they'd call you insane. That's true. Actually, I forgot to mention it. I did read something else in one of the other articles that was going on about it. Do you know how he came up with the seven candle thing for the 7 days?
Did he just steal it from the Jews?
He took you know that nine candle candelabra from the Jewish Hanukkah?
Yeah.
He just took one of those and broke two of the candle holders off.
I was going to say, it does seem incredibly lazy.
It is incredibly lazy. It's the least effort you could go to come up with a fake holiday imaginable. He literally just went, here's this thing, here's 7 days and seven tenets to go to, and also it's African, maybe, probably.
Swahili? I don't know. Is that in Africa?
Maybe. Like, who knows?
It's the wrong side. I mean, that's the thing.
I know. It's so stupid. Kevin Fox, so Kamala celebrated Kwanzaa in her Indo-Caribbean home. Rastafari or Hinduism, I'd go for, but Kwanzaa, especially given that she was born before it was even created, and well, she was by the time it even got popular, she was already in her teen years. Kevin Fox, this Kwanzaa guy is making Scientology look sensible. Dubious claim, but fair. Captain Charlie the Beagle, you may think that Europe is becoming more based, but oh, I think this is for your segment, so I'll save that one for you. Kevin Fox, love to see the look on the faces of those Kwanzaa following African Americans if you took them to Africa and they find out no one celebrates it. Heartbroken. And Lord Nerevar says the new machine, which was designed to replace the old machine, has actually introduced more racism than it left behind. This one was designed with it specifically in mind. I think that was in reference to your first segment as well.
Should we move on to the European?
Yes.
Baseness? Zen Chan says, consider this, if the government has to bribe you into having kids, your country isn't a good country to raise kids. Maybe they should look at those reasons instead of throwing money at people. That's also true. There was actually something I was going to include, I didn't have time, in which Viktor Orban gives a speech where he says, just throwing money at people isn't good enough. And he makes your exact argument, which is like, we have to make the conditions where people want to raise kids in Hungary as well. Like, we have to become the future instead of just, and we are doing it, he says.
Well, I think you kind of have to go with a two-pronged approach, don't you? You have to make the country better for the future, but you also have to encourage more procreation right now.
Yeah, it also will just convince a lot of people on a base level to be like, oh, I get money for having kids, or I'll have kids. It's like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, sometimes the simple solutions are the best.
Peter R. says, the 2000 parents, don't mix your drinks, use protection. 2022 parents, I'm sending you to bang camp.
That's right, bang for Britain.
It's going to be so crap.
Oh, wait, no. Based Apes come up with an even better one. Hashtag breed the Brits.
That would be higher class. Like, what I'm annoyed by is it would just, like, the all of it will be wrong. Like, the do it for Denmark thing. Like, at least there's, you know, you pick, like, a pretty couple. You've got them in situations where they're, like, having fun and smiling and blah, 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 whatever. Like, the bang for Britain advert, in my mind, is just two people down the pub getting drunk and then going home and having a mistake. That's what I'm imagining the director's going to
exactly.
end up doing.
It's a beautiful British tradition. Why would you want God to sully it?
Anyway, Lord Nerevar says, a nice white pill on how the Euroscum countries are showing their unrepresentatives and know that they're not letting them crush them anymore. Hopefully one of Medvedev's predictions for 2023 comes true, the total collapse of the EU.
Fingers crossed.
Did you see Medvedev's?
No, I haven't.
It was a bit weird. he's the former president and sort of like, he's Putin's right-hand man for a lot of things in the sense of like political stuff. And he just did a Twitter thread about all the things that he's expecting to happen this year. And like number four or whatever was just like the complete collapse of the United States, infighting between Texas and California erupts into civil war. It's just like, okay, Tim Pool.
All right, fair play.
Go have a look. Viva la España says, Spain looks like it's shifting rightward. If we even get to have elections, because Comi Sanchez is becoming more dictatorial with each day. Although being really retarded and useless, he tried to essentially stack the constitutional court and is making concessions to the separatists as Vasque terrorists. Expect fortification. Well, I'm not sure, but let us know how it goes. Omar Avad says, the establishment's media has determined that being against the establishment is bad. Sounds reliable. Guess it's over, lads. Back to the Matrix we go. At least when you're being blue-pilled, the world isn't run by malicious paedophile elite. Is that true? Andrew Narok says, you know, it's really interesting how the left is complaining about anti-elite sentiments. Last I recall, Marxists hate the elite, in theory at least. Then again, why should we expect leftists to hold consistent positions? Yeah, what happens when they're the elite? Oh, then it has the goo. Captain Charlie Beagle says, regarding Europe's baseness, it's almost as if every country that has been bogged down for decades in the mirror of left-wing politics are sick of it and are throwing in their lot with the right, thinking they can't be any worse. Yeah, there's that too.
Yeah, and they won't be. They'll be much better, in fact.
Kevin Fox has something to say about Mr. Mellons. The thing about Mrs. Mellons was a bit of a self-own, wasn't it? She's detoxifying Italy, so Italy was full of toxins, i.e. the left, so they're calling their own crowd control toxic. Good one.
Yeah, my point exactly.
And on that note, it's time to pretty much end the show. So if you'd like more from us, go to lowercs.com. If you look for something to do tonight, do it for Denmark. And
breed for Brits.
We'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you and goodbye.